I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm thrilled to have my next guest here. We have Bob Wheeler, who is the president and CEO of Airstream. And if you have not heard of Airstream, you are living under a rock. I was even chatting with my college daughter today and telling her that I was going to be interviewing Bob this morning, and she could even describe what Airstream was. So it's definitely brings generations together. Bob is the, as I said, the president and CEO of this incredible classic. So more than anything, they are a recreational company that I can't wait to hear a little bit more about the last couple of years, because that, of course, was when so many people set out on the road, and really, really incredible time. So Bob took over Airstream in 2005 and has led the company through, I think, one of, or maybe two of the most challenging times in history. Maybe Bob will add to that when we get him talking a little bit more. But Airstream has set record sales. Product innovation is incredible. And cutting edge marketing, the public's renewed appreciation for Airstream's authenticity and quality is at its top. And I'm just thrilled to speak to Bob today. So welcome, Bob.
Hey, Kara. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited as well.
We always speak first a little bit about you before we actually get into the company. And I'd love to know a little bit more about Bob and really understand, who were you as a kid? I mean, did you always know that you'd be running a company, an iconic company? I mean, something that is just so known for quality that just is something that I think everybody would want to own.
Believe it or not, I had no idea what an Airstream was when I was a kid. So no, this was not on my radar. Yeah, I grew up in the country in upstate New York, dairy country. But I always was drawn to mechanical things. My dad was an English professor, but always kind of a Renaissance man, very good at fixing stuff, which you had to be when you live in a big old house in the country. So I picked up a lot of mechanical love for him, figuring out how things work. So became an engineer in college, you know, predictably. And I've left a lot of that behind, but that's kind of how I got started with a love of things mechanical and things with wheels. I was always a car guy. So yeah, it's been a long and circuitous path.
Why engineering?
Yeah, honestly, I related to things better than people at that age.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was 18 and, I understood how machines work, but people are this black box. You know, in the last several years, I've started to figure out that there's another way to manage. And that's part of my growth arc as well. But that at the time, it just seemed to make sense. And I came from a family of English professors, English majors too. So I was the black sheep.
So interesting. So you didn't get pressure to go into become an English major or?
There was no overt pressure, but they looked at me funny when I said I wanted to declare for engineering. So, but they are very supportive in this. It was always a marvel to them how I'd succeeded in business, an area that they really knew nothing about. It was as much a mystery to them as anything.
So interesting. So what was your first job out of college?
Yeah. So I graduated from University of Rochester with a degree in mechanical engineering, went to work for General Motors. So I started at one of the biggest automotive companies, but this was in an old school plant that they used to have in Buffalo, New York, built in the 20s. It's the kind of place where in the Second World War, they stopped building cars and started making airplanes. I mean, literally, this is Rosie the Riveter. It's that whole generation. And the plant was that old, great place for a first job because it was very strong union, strong management at odds. really old school plant with a lot of skilled trades. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about what I didn't want to do in a career, which is as important as anything, but great place to cut your teeth as a young engineer, and met some great people there who I still think of often today.
That's awesome. And so you transitioned into product development. Was this all part of General Motors? Did they want you to get into that?
No, that all happened after I left and joined the RV industry. I was with GM for about 5 years, got my MBA, and then I got a call from a recruiter one day, randomly. Actually, she called somebody else in the department, and they forwarded the call, and I happened to be at my desk. This is how life is, right? If I hadn't been at my desk, you and I would not be talking today. There's no question. So she got me randomly and sold me on the job she called this other guy about, and I moved to Fort Wayne, joined the RV industry. And I worked in, I was manufacturing management for several years in the RV industry before I got into product design, to get back to your question. At that time, I was working for a company called Fleetwood, which some of your listeners may know. Mm-hmm. They used to be the big RV company starting in the 50s, and got into product design and development with them, and then stayed in that until I transitioned to my general management role now as the president of Airstream.
So interesting. So was this your first product development then sort of role? And I think it's so fascinating that you've worked in so many different areas, right? And I think that, again, speaking about the Gen Z generation, and I was chatting with my son, who is in college too. I have a million kids, so I chat with them a lot. You know, I'm always trying to explain that just because you go into one thing, it doesn't mean you're going to stay in that. And that's just a journey to go on to do bigger and better things. And I think that you are just a shining example of that. But how does working in different areas and having a more than basic understanding of mechanical engineering and product development and manufacturing, and how does that inform your ability to not only be a great CEO, but also a great leader?
Well, to your point, if you really want to become successful in a leadership role in the broader organization as a whole, working in those functional areas and understanding, you know, how the sausage gets made is mm-hmm. really important. And I've not worked in every area of a business. I've never worked in accounting. I've never worked in sales. In fact, I couldn't sell water in the desert. It's just not a strong suit of mine. But I've worked in purchasing, obviously product design and development, manufacturing. I never worked in HR. So, you know, nobody's going to be able to do all those things, right? But especially in an industry, it's a manufacturing industry, you know, we make stuff. So understanding how the manufacturing part of the business works has really been key. And you sprinkle in a little bit of, you know, business school, kind of broad business education, and, you know, a lot of kind of shoe leather, boots on the ground experience. And, you know, it comes together, at least from a functional standpoint, as the toolbox you need to be a good manager. There's a whole lot more that goes into being a good leader.
Yeah.
A lot of which, you know, you don't get in those, they don't just come organically in those experiences. They come from a lot of things. But I've been lucky in my path. I've had some great mentors and the right jobs and the right exposure at the right time and the right opportunities. And the next thing you know, here you are.
Absolutely. That's incredible. So you get the phone call for Airstream. You obviously are interested. You said you didn't have an Airstream as a kid. Mm-mm. What was it that really interested you the most about this brand?
Well, that's a great question, because even I'd worked in the industry for a number of years at that point, the RV industry, recreational right. vehicle industry. And I came over to Jackson Center to interview, and I walked in the manufacturing plant where they make the shiny silver bullet trailers. And I immediately just felt at home. I could see people working with purpose and focus and obvious care and craftsmanship. And even though I wasn't deeply steeped in the brand, even at that point, I recognized a place where they were doing something very different than the rest of the industry. And I thought, all right, this is a place I think I could really sink my teeth in and never look back. I couldn't work for another company in the industry at this point. We're just different and special enough. I'm not taking credit for that. That's part of the brand that goes back 91 years. So that's what attracted me. And then once I got to know more about the brand. It's such an amazing, the word iconic here gets overused, but it's this brand with deep history and heritage, deeply woven into the fabric of the American psyche, world known as the ultimate tool for travel and adventure. People get so excited about the products and the lifestyle that it engenders that once you get in, you kind of never want to get back out.
The CFOs that get it, get it. And the CFOs that don't, don't. Let's talk about the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer. Today's CFO is critical to the strategy and success of the business. And in growing companies, there are two kinds of CFOs. One who's struggling to keep up, spreadsheets everywhere, manual processes, errors, and lack of visibility into the numbers, and it takes weeks to close those books. The other kind is on top of their game. Automated reporting, inventory, e-commerce, and HR flow into the financial model seamlessly, and insights coming in with the click of a button. NetSuite is the perfect program to help you manage your business better, whether it's financial modeling or inventory management. NetSuite is a number one cloud financial system that provides everything you need to grow your business, all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books on time. From HR to budgeting to financials, NetSuite is the platform for scaling your business. Over 29,000 businesses already use NetSuite. Head to netsuite.com/Kara for special one-of-a-kind financing offer. That's netsuite.com/Kara, netsuite.com/Kara. So how would you articulate the Airstream brand, you know, to somebody who had maybe been familiar with it, but had never entered an Airstream before?
Well, what we do, and this is what we try to maintain focus on, what we make is this beautiful piece of industrial art, but it's really, it's a springboard. It's an enabler. It's a conduit for adventure and experience. So we make a thing, but what that thing allows you to do are the things that really change your life, to create those memories, make connection with the community, see places you've never seen, see cultures you've never been exposed to. So when I talk about Airstream, and you see it in the spark in the eyes of our customers, it's the possibility that it presents, the things to go and see and an adventure to have in ways that change people's lives. I know that sounds like a lot of hyperbole, but it really isn't. So when I talk about the brand, it's about that passion for travel and adventure and learning and experience that really are the heart and the soul of the brand. And the things we make that allow people to do those things are enablers.
Definitely. Well, and I think that, you know, trips and travel are the memories that that you won't throw away, right? It's there are things that you are constantly remembering, whether it's just with by yourself or, you know, with a friend or your family, or you meet new people along the way, whatever it is. So talk to me a little bit about the last couple of years. So everybody, I certainly knew a bunch of people who were taken off, and I think a few of them had an Airstream, the lucky ones, and others were renting cars and different RVs along the way. But what was your life like in the beginning of 2020 when all of this hit all of us?
Yeah, it's funny. You reflect back on that period now, it's because it's 2 years later, more or less.
Right.
So we were as scared and mystified as everybody else about what was going on. And then, you know, when things really started to get bad in middle of March of 2020, we were trying to figure out what was going to happen with the business. And then the state shut us down for 6 weeks. And during that 6 weeks, you know, we were imagining the worst because we had all these echoes from the recession of 08 and 09. We were seeing high unemployment, a lot of recessionary pressures, drop in wages, drop in personal spending that were all part of the pandemic. Well, historically, all those things lead to the big downturn in the RV industry. We make a big ticket discretionary good. Nobody needs one. So we were bracing for a real downturn in the industry. And yet we came back after that 6 week down period and, you know, things weren't as bad as we expected. And then within 2 months, our business took off like a rocket. Because as it turns out, and this is one of the things I would say was a big oversight in my part, and everything looks clearer in hindsight, right? But mm-hmm. there are only a handful of things you can do socially in a pandemic. You're not going to get on a cruise ship or an airplane or go to Disney. RVing, let's say you're taking your kitchen and your bathroom and your bedroom. You're driving your own car. And when you get where you're going, you're socially distanced, you know, because nature. So a lot of people figured that out in a hurry in the spring of 2020. And the whole industry took off like a rocket, and we were no exception. So it was a roller coaster is the short answer. We went from kind of terrified about the pandemic to really depressed about where we anticipated the business was heading. Laid off 25% of the company because we were so confident that things were going to take a huge downturn, and then came back and got hold of the tiger by the tail. And it's, we've been holding on with all our might for ever since.
Obviously demand was way up. Were you guys able to keep up with what was needed?
The short answer is no. And we still haven't caught up. I mean, this won't sound like complaining, I hope, because it's a good problem. But yeah, we've been well behind the market for, well, ever since spring of 2020. We can't get caught up. And our ability to ramp up, we can't just turn up the knob and start cranking out Airstreams. They're made by hand with a lot of care and craft. So we can only ramp up as quickly as we can maintain or improve product quality. That's one of our core tenets. And that has slowed us down, along with, you may have heard, and there's some supply chain issues out there and some labor
issues.
That's what I was
going to ask. So what, yeah. I mean, that in every single industry, everybody is a little bit different. But what's sort of your supply chain woes, right, that are out there? What is the challenge in your industry?
So yeah, it started, that was our first big obstacle once we started to try to ramp up, was supply chain, supplier capacity at first, right? Because they were dealing with COVID all over the world. Couldn't make as much stuff as they had been. And then it was logistics, getting it. All those ships out at the port of LA and Long Beach parked in the Pacific. And we don't source stuff overseas, but some of our suppliers do. So we had stuff on those ships waiting to get delivered. Couldn't get long-haul truck drivers to get the stuff here. So we fought these supply chain issues, crushed us. And then those started to resolve. And really about 5-6 months ago, those things started to get a lot better. And then the crunch became labor. You know, local employers are trying to hire, wages ratcheting up, including at Airstream. So then we fought for labor. But this is one of the pivots I'm really proud of. We told our marketing team, stop selling Airstreams and start recruiting employees. And they blinked a couple of times and said, okay. And they put together a fantastic local campaign, billboards and radio, print, TV. And now we've got all the applicants again we need. So
amazing.
Yeah. And so we got our labor problem solved. So now we've got material, we've got people. Now it's just inflation. That's our challenge, is pricing the product right.
So we're heading into summer right now. And what's your outlook for travel? Do you believe that it will still stay pretty local, that people are still a little nervous about maybe getting on airplanes or cruises or whatever? I mean, where is sort of the outlook for Airstream going forward?
Yeah, for us, we've got such a backlog right now that even if people get more nervous about travel, and most of the trends, I think, point the other way, you know, airline travel's up. Mm-hmm. People seem to have, I mean, the Omicron variants, most people seem to be ignoring, at least in this part of the country. So it's still very bright prospects for us moving forward. We've got a long backlog we need to work through anyway. For the rest of the RV industry, though, you're starting to see demand softening a little bit. And their capacity, they're starting to get caught up with market demand. RV industry's been able to put out a lot of product to try to get caught up. So a little different situation for us. But for us, we're looking at a great summer. Again, trying to dig out of this hole we've been in for 2 years and get dealer inventories back to where they need to be, which is going to take a while. So pretty bright prospects here at the moment.
Talking about innovation, so the E-Stream, Airstream's new electric caravan. I'm dying to check this out. It sounds unbelievably great. So what prompted you to actually go in and develop this product? I would imagine that this was kind of in the works before COVID, or did it actually come up during the last couple of years?
We had an inkling of it before COVID. And for your listeners, the E-Stream is an Airstream travel trailer with a fully integrated electric drivetrain, 80 kilowatt battery, fully integrated with the house systems, 900 watts of solar on the roof. So it's a travel trailer that powers itself.
Amazing.
We started thinking about this idea probably 3 years ago as we started to hear and see more and more about electric tow vehicles, right? Starting with Tesla and then especially car companies coming out with trucks that can tow, Rivian and now the Ford F-150 Lightning, and. So we could see that there was this emerging segment of tow vehicles that we needed to think about. How's that going to work with our traditional product? I mean, you put a traditional Airstream behind an electric tow vehicle and your battery range goes down by half if you're lucky. So we started to consider, how are we going to accommodate the needs of that buyer in the future? It'll never be all of our business, but it's going to be a growing part. And you know, you can't open the automotive section of the newspaper without another car company saying by 2030 or 2035, they're not going to be making gas engines anymore. So we started down this this path with our German partner, and who had started development on this drivetrain. And last January, we introduced the prototype eStream that you mentioned, with this fully integrated power system, really a fully realized prototype. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's not a lot of smoke and mirrors. It's mostly there. And of course, the product's been very well received, both by the EV towing crowd, but also you can tow it with your gas vehicle and it's going to help your gas mileage enormously. And also, if you want to camp off grid, there's a growing segment. As a result of all this interest in the industry and the lifestyle, campgrounds are overbooked, especially sure. State and national parks. You can't get a site. So we've been encouraging people to boondock or dry camp. And there's so many places in this nation you can go and camp in the wilderness, all the National Forest Service lands. So this big power pack in the eStream allows you to go off-grid and live comfortably. So it started with where the tow vehicle industry was headed. That was the original spark. Let me try to pack in a bunch of additional functionality we knew that our specific buyers would want, and the results of the eStream.
So the company is founded in 1931. I would mm-hmm. guess that you have employees that have been there for a long time, not all mm-hmm. of them. So was this the biggest innovation that you had done in the company?
Yeah. I don't know if I can make that claim because our founder, Wally Byam, he really invented the industry and he also invented a lot of firsts. He invented products for RVs that have gone on to become their whole supplier base for the industry, yeah. Like, you know, RV flush toilets and furnaces and water heaters and awnings. So he created these things out of necessity back in the 50s. And now all those things I mentioned have gone off to become their own significant companies to supply the RV industry and the marine industry. So I don't know if I can claim the biggest innovation, but I'd like to think I'd say it's in the top 10.
Yeah. I love it. So having employees who are, kind of old school, maybe that's not mm-hmm. the right term, versus mm-hmm. the newer ones that are most interested in innovation. How do you manage that? I think that this is a pretty big jump for Airstream. It's, I think, a great jump and lots of, but I would imagine that you would have people that are, maybe they wouldn't buy one of these because they really want an Airstream that is this. But so how do you talk about choice? How do you talk about those things as you're leading?
Yeah, there's a lot of push and pull within this company, as you note. Mm-hmm. First of all, we regularly retire people from Airstream with 50 years of service or more. Happens all the time.
50 years?
50 years.
That is wild.
When I started here, the average seniority was 22 years. Average.
Holy moly, 22 years. That's amazing.
So we're this kind of dichotomy of old school people that have worked here a long time and a customer base, many of them who are older and have gotten used to Airstream being a certain thing. But, you know, all you have to do is look at the somewhat recent history of the company to see that if we allow ourselves to become stagnant and irrelevant for the new buyers, mm-hmm. the company is going to it's going to fade away to nothing. And that was happening in the 90s. Actually, the product was stale. There was no innovative marketing, no effort to connect with a new buyer, younger buyer. And the business was declining even in a time when the RV industry was growing. So that was a real, very sobering to folks. And they recognized that unless we continue to push and innovate in a way that our founder, Wally Byam, he staked out and said, hey, we need to lead this industry. He created the industry. And it's part of our DNA to be innovative, push forward, develop products like the eStream and others. So I think people have seen what happens when you don't do that. And we've seen all the benefits of doing it. And we're in a great place now where we can honor, respect, and draw on our history, but not be constrained by it. But instead use the Airstream platform and brand as a petri dish for innovation and trying things, some of which work, some of which don't. And it's a fun company and brand with a lot of forward momentum. So, you know, my goal is just not to screw it up. I'm a steward.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take a moment to talk about my book. It's called Undaunted. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet on Audible or picked up a copy at Amazon or at your favorite bookstore, I think you're really missing out. Hopefully you're enjoying listening to the Kara Golden Show with all the amazing guests that I'm so lucky to interview and be inspired by. Stories of challenges and breakthroughs, lessons too. Each of these incredible guests teach me that being undaunted really is the answer. And that is what you will learn from my story, which I share in my book, Undaunted. Not only how I came up with the idea for Hint, but also the journey that I experienced along the way. You see, most people don't know all the challenges that entrepreneurs go through in building a company. And the journey, the ups and the downs, twists and turns, you will hear it all in Undaunted. Probably the thing that has made me happiest about writing this book is hearing from people and how the book has helped them push through hard things and try new things. I have heard from countless people how Undaunted has helped them see that they are not alone in their hard times that they are experiencing, but also how pushing forward and finding a way is usually what it takes. My real stories with my observations looking back that just might make you change your mind about what you can endure and what you can achieve. Don't let anyone tell you you can't. It's time to move past your fears and defy the doubters too. My book Undaunted is available everywhere books are sold, on Amazon and Audible as well. And shoot me a DM and tell me what you think. Back to the show. What do you see as the biggest opportunity for Airstream today beyond the products? Where does this company go based on what you see?
We start to think about the lifestyle and the lives people live when they're using our products. And today, when our customers leave the dealership, we lose track of them. Mm-hmm. We might see them on Instagram, but we don't hear from them again until they come back for service or to trade in and trade up or something. So we know their whole arc, their whole universe of Airstream experience, you know, camping and finding reservations and campgrounds and supply and resupply and adventures and POIs. If we can participate in a way in that part of their Airstream life in a way that makes it better, easier, more convenient, less hassles, then we can add value and stickiness to the brand. So we're doing a deep dive into, you know, understanding what those activities are and how we can participate in a way that helps them and doesn't get in their way. And you know, some of that has to do with overcoming hassles and obstacles. I mean, an RV is like a boat in some ways, mm-hmm. in many ways. There's some friction points and there's maintenance and there's things you have to learn the hard way. And if we can help get past those friction points and get people to the fun part of RVing, which is amazing, we'll make the product and the brand stickier and people will have a better time and experience. So there's kind of a whole laundry list of ways to participate, some of them with digital platforms and interaction, which we're working on. So I see that as the next big opportunity for the company that's not right in that Airstream product category. It's more of a lifestyle play and you know, driven by a lot of really smart digital tools.
It's funny. I feel like RVing used to be for retirees. Mm-hmm. And today I would say that your audience is getting younger. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've introduced some products at price points that are more accessible to a younger buyer too. So we've helped foster that. But you know, the brand has gotten more youthful in a lot of ways. And we still have our retirees. And honestly, if you want to live in your Airstream full time, it's pretty hard to to be working full time. Although I will say the pandemic has brought this whole new subset of Airstream users because it's driven this whole work from home movement, which frankly is work from anywhere if you've got good Wi-Fi. Right. So we've seen a number of couples and even families recognize that, hey, let's get the Airstream and let's hit the road. As long as we have good Wi-Fi, we can do our jobs from there. The kids can learn from there with all the digital learning platforms that became available during the pandemic. So it's an exciting new chapter for us, and one I don't see, you know, the learn from anywhere thing is going to slow down as kids really go back to school. But work from anywhere, there's a huge piece of that that's going to go on indefinitely. So be a fun, fun aspect to participate in as a company.
So outside of the U.S., do you see the same trends where people are hopping into their Airstream? I mean, where do you see the future? So do you think it's mostly a U.S. type of trend, or do you see it happening throughout the world?
Well, I think that work from home trend is happening everywhere, just driven by, first of all, the necessity of the pandemic, and then people realizing that it can be as or more effective way to set up a work-life balance. And we barely sell any products overseas, so I'm not quite as attuned to the cultural trends in those markets, but I know the work from home thing is here to stay. And, you know, certainly there's a strong industry surge in the RV industry in Europe, just like there was here in the US. So
yeah,
not one definitely. We participate in, but yeah.
I read that it's that over half of your consumers are first time RVers. And so I'm curious, how much does storytelling really fit into, you spoke about social media platforms. I mean, do you think storytelling and does that kind of bring in some of those consumers, the dream of being able to get out on the road? And I'm curious, as a CEO, how much do you think storytelling fits into the overall brand?
It's a huge part of our marketing message, maybe the bigger part. And we're really lucky in that our products and the way people use them lend themselves to great story creation. Like I give my CMO a hard time. I said, well, if you were trying to sell dishwashers, good luck getting people to send you their Instagram feeds and their passionate stories about their dishwasher adventures. You know, in a way, this stuff falls in our laps, and we curate some of it, but there's so much amazing user-generated content out there, and they're all beautiful places, people having amazing experiences with or without kids, and, you know, living a lifestyle that many of us can only dream of. So all of the storytelling around those experiences really lends itself to presenting the brand in a way that's not, it's genuine, it's not superficial, and it's not fake. These are real people using our products, having life-changing experiences. So we lean on that pretty heavily, and it just continues to grow in quality and quantity.
It's such a fun brand too, that I think those stories are really what drive so many people to just go try, right?
Yeah, give it a shot.
Give it a shot and see what happens. And once you do it once, then you get hooked and you try to figure out the next trip and where you're going to go. So it's definitely a great iconic brand for sure. So it'd be a lot of fun to work on. Coming from somebody who's really enjoyed marketing for a long time, it's making my head get really, really excited. So Bob, I always ask people to share a story about a challenge or maybe even a failure somewhere along the way, maybe at in the early days of Airstream, but something that you just didn't anticipate or you just weren't sure you were going to be able to get through it, but you did. And what were some of the lessons learned along the way? And how can you share that? And more than anything, share so that people can learn from your own experience.
How many examples would you like?
I know. Tell me about it.
How much time do we have? No, I appreciate the question. There have been no shortage of those. But one, and I touched on this a little earlier, one in recent history is, you know, for many years, we lived in the shadow of the Great Recession of 08 and 09, because that really crushed our business. We were down 60% in those 2 years, 6-0. So pretty devastating. And the effects of that really, And the echoes of that really stuck with us for a long time, even to the point when spring of 2020, when we saw some of the same indicators, some of these recessionary markers because of the pandemic, we just assumed the response and the reaction would be the same. And back in 08 and 09, we took way too long to reduce the size of the company. You know, I remember my first kind of headcount reduction meeting saying, oh, this is cutting into the muscle. This is more than fat. Well, three rounds later, we were down to the size company we needed to be. So I was still living in that paradigm back in the spring of 2020, and we cut 25% of the company, laid off, just anticipating that our business was going to collapse. Well, you know, hindsight, if I'd really thought about it, and it seems so obvious now, that some industries were going to be the beneficiaries of this pandemic dynamic, and the RV industry certainly turned out to be one, maybe one of the biggest. So we laid off 25% of the company, which kills me. I hate to do that. I've only had to do it a couple of times in my career. And then we came back to this unprecedented demand. And it's pretty easy to lay off and cut your rates. It's very painful to build them back up. So we missed a real market opportunity there in all that time we spent trying to build back up just to get back to the rates we were before we'd cut all those heads. You can't get the people back, or they've moved on, and just get the supply chain fired back up. And so my lesson there was, you know, just because it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck doesn't mean it's a duck. And in this case, we should have thought about how is the situation different than 08 and 09? And how might we react differently rather than kind of living in the paradigm of what we did and did not do back then? We would have been much further ahead of the market. Our dealers would have had better inventory positions. So we missed market opportunity. So that was a good lesson in not assuming and really thinking deeply about what's happening rather than, you know, kind of on a more superficial level, driven by an experience that was, you know, 12, 13 years old.
Sure. No, I think everybody's got their stories from the last couple of years. At Hint, we're an FDA regulated product in a category of water. So we were definitely anticipating a big year, in 2020, but then when the pandemic hit, and being an FDA regulated product in a category like water, we were running our plants 24 hours a day. We grew 40% in 2020. It was insane. Yeah, it was absolutely insane. And we definitely had roles that they couldn't use those people in those roles, but we ended up figuring out a way to offer other roles to people within the company. So we had people who were, you know, typically doing events and we call it field marketing, and then we put them into sales. And so we were rejiggering things. We didn't know how it was going to work, but it was an absolutely insane time, and continued through 2021. Actually, it was absolutely crazy. So it was so many lessons learned during that time. I don't think anybody was really prepared, right? I think you just figured out how to actually, you know, do the best you can more than anything, and try and think about, you know, what's relevant here to try and make these decisions. But I think also just looking at your employees and understanding what they're going through, that seemed to be consistent across all industries, I bet inside of Airstream, I bet it was just absolutely crazy given sort of the situation with travel and everything else that people were doing. So
it was chaos.
Really, really interesting. Well, thank you for that. And thanks everyone for listening. Bob, where can people find out more about Airstream? Also, your newest product too. Is it on the market? I mean, can people actually go in and try it in local dealerships?
No, not the E-Stream. That was a fully realized concept travel trailer. And it's probably going to be 2 years before you see some version of that actually available. So, but you can learn about it and follow progress on it. Sign up for information at airstream.com.
That's awesome.
All of our products and great lifestyle stories. And it's a great glimpse at really all the dimensions of the brand.
That's great. Well, you guys have great social media too, and like get lots of great ideas for places to go off of that. So it's definitely check it out if you have not seen the Airstream Instagram and some of the other platforms that they're on as well. And thanks everybody for listening. Thanks, Bob, for coming on. Definitely subscribe to the Kara Golden Show, everyone, if you haven't already, so you do not miss incredible interviews like this one that we had with Bob Wheeler of Airstream. And definitely give this episode a 5-star rating. It definitely helps with the algorithms and searches out there. So just want to remind everybody about that. And also just a reminder that I can be found on all social media channels at Kara Golden. And if you haven't already picked up a copy of my book, Undaunted, Overcoming Doubts and Doubters, it's all about the journey of Hint and building it and from the ground up. Very, very fun and exciting, and definitely lots of lessons and mistakes along the way that I share in this book. So hopefully you'll get a chance to pick it up. It's also on Audible too. And we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and now Friday with the Kara Golden Show. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks again, Bob. Everyone have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, Kara. Appreciate your time.
Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.